Page 799. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
Walking along at even, viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome me, silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once greeted by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Closing my eyes at even, thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting Him face to face, trusting Him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, leading with Him to guide me onto the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once greeted by the Savior's love, where pure and whole and live with my God above.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books, page 670. 670. Sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford.
Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, thanking you first and foremost, Father, for another day of life. Father, just for getting us up this morning, getting us clothed, and being able to come here, Father, safely, to be able to take time to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just want to thank you for being the God that you are, almighty, a God that looks after us, a God that guides us, a God that protects us. Lord, we just want to thank you. Lord, we want to take this time to thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for remission of sin, Father. You didn't have to do it, Father, but you did. Father, we want to take this time, Father, also to ask that you bless those, Father, that was mentioned this morning that are sick. Father, that those that are bereaved, Father, we ask that if it be thy will, that you will bring them back to their appointed health. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will bless the leadership of this congregation, Father. Lead them, guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Father, so that you will get the glory, O Lord. Father, we ask that you will bless this nation, Father. People, so many people are hurting, O Lord. But Father, we know that you have a plan. Your word says that all things works for good of those who love you. Father, we just have to trust you every day, Father. We ask every day, Father, that you help to increase our faith to trust your way, trust your will, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you bless Brother Gilbert as he gives us the blessing this morning, Father, that he has a ready recollection of that he has been studying, Father, that he meditates on it. Father, we ask that if there is any in our audience that today, Father, that his words reach out to them through you, reach out to them, Father, and brings them closer to you, Father. God, we know that you have everything, Father. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. We forgive us of those sins that are both known and unknown, O Lord. Especially in this season that we're in, O Lord, those things of grief, of sorrow, of worry, of fear, Father. We ask that we know that those things are not of you, Father, and that we continue to increase our faith daily. We ask all these things in love, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 358. 358. Sing verses 1 and 5. 1 and 5.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faint I seek, then in God I go to thee.
As we read in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18, you read of the example of freely giving sacrifice, freely give your life, because you loved this world so much. And when you read that about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that, you know, even though he knew he would be ridiculed, that he would be mocked, he knew the pain and the suffering that he was going to have to endure. And this was a man that was free of sin. You know, he had done nothing wrong. And he was still willing to give his life on the cross. And we really have to appreciate that, because when you read in verse 18, that Jesus acknowledged that no man took his life from him. You know, man didn't have the power to do that, but he freely gave his life. So let us be mindful of that as we prepare to take of this Lord's Supper. You know, we have before us the emblems, we have the bread, which represents his body. We have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're deeply thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together on this first day of the week to gather around this table. So thankful for you allowing us to arrive here safely, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to remember, to clear our minds and to reflect back on that sacrifice on the cross that thy Son Jesus did on our behalf, to give his life, even though he was without sin, even though he had done nothing wrong, to still be that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, so that we may have a chance at eternal salvation. We pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents his body, that we'll do so in a way and manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask, for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's now give thanks for the cup. Dear Father, as we remember Christ upon the cross, help us, dear Father, to recognize the importance of his death, the shedding of his blood, dear Father, that blood may cleanse us, that it would bring us the New Testament that guides our life, that gives us a hope for salvation. Be with us, dear Father, that we'll not forget this, for we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. It's an opportunity for us to give back a portion of the many wonderful blessings that we have received to help with the work here at this congregation. And as we have seen this past year, the just many changes that this world has had to go through, a lot of us have had to go through, and it really makes you appreciate the greatness of our Heavenly Father. So let us take this time to give thanks for that opportunity to give back. Our most kind, loving, and gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for life, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, you know, for providing us for everything that we see, all the beauty that we see in this world, for creating all this for us, Heavenly Father, for giving us the will, the ability, you know, just giving us our health, giving us the opportunity to go out in this world, Heavenly Father, to be able to provide for those that we care for, those that we love. And we're so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to give back a portion of the many blessings that you have given us. And we pray that as we do so, Heavenly Father, that we'll do so in a way that will be pleasing, that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
After marking that, please turn to page 806. 806. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I'd like to stay here longer than where's a lot of day and watch the fleeting changes all about the deeper ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and high. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and high. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory.
The scripture reading for this morning's worship service is the ninth hour. That is the ninth hour. The scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. I'll be reading from the King James translation of the Bible. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is in our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in him of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, Brother Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody who was able to be here today. We thank God for blessing us, giving us the health and the strength to be able to be here today for this service. It's only by the grace of God that we are here and that we are even alive. So we are thankful to God. As you may know, Brother Skippy and Sister Carolyn are away. They are in Nebraska. Visiting family. Text with him this morning. They're doing well. And he hopes everybody here is well also. Let's keep them in prayer that they can have a safe trip back home. You know, to be a child of God is one of the best things that can happen to any person in this life. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems, but we will have help when we do have problems. You know, to be a part of a loving, caring church family is something we should never take for granted. This morning we are honored by your presence today. If you are a guest or a visitor, we're happy you are here today. We hope this visit today is going to be a good one. We hope that you will come back, visit us whenever you have that opportunity. We hope that everyone today will be receptive to the lesson and to the service, and we can all grow from it. I'm going to begin in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I'll be beginning with verse number 1. There's a word in the continuing Acts of Jesus Christ through the apostles. Chapters 3, the verses 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I would, for a few moments this morning, like to lift up as a subject the ninth hour. The ninth hour. is our tag for this text at this time. With the fires of Pentecost still burning in their hearts, Peter and John joined the parade of people on their way up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Two different men with two different temperaments working together for the same cause. Peter and John, they are together now, but they are worlds apart in temperament. Peter was a doer. John was a dreamer. Peter was a motivator. John was a mystic. And their natural differences many times led to heated encounters. But here they are. Not always able to see eye to eye on everything. Did not see the world from the same vantage point. But here they are. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, being welded together by a mutual love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Two different men brought together by a common faith. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm kind of suggesting that's a lesson for some of us here to learn. If there's anything that ought to bring us together, it's our love for Jesus Christ. So when they took Jesus, they had to take each other. Peter and John did not come into this circle seeking each other. They came seeking Jesus. But when they took Jesus, they had to take each other. And that's a lesson that we can learn here as well. The scripture says they went up to the temple to pray. This was something that they did frequently. It was on this occasion at the ninth hour, the hour of evening prayer. You know, it was Jewish custom. Three times a day, any faithful, consecrated Jewish believer took a pause from his daily activities, made his way to the temple to pray. Three times a day, faithful Jews prayed. We get a semblance of this when we study Psalms 55, verse 17, where it says, "Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry out aloud. And he shall hear my voice." Notice, evening and morning and noon. We are familiar with that custom. You remember Daniel, when he was in Babylonian captivity, practiced the same custom as he daily opened his window towards Jerusalem and he prayed three times a day. They prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning, they prayed at noon, they prayed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The ninth hour was called the hour of evening prayer on the Jewish calendar. Some of us get confused about this Jewish clock. 6 a.m. in the morning was the first hour. 12 noon was the sixth hour. 3 o'clock in the afternoon was the ninth hour. This should bring back certain memories. Bible readers know that Jesus hung on the cross from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. You see, it was at the ninth hour that midnight darkness showed up at midday. It was the ninth hour when man was at his worst and God was at his best. It was the ninth hour, and Jesus, hanging on the cross, cried out, "It is finished." It was the ninth hour, that magical moment when Jesus dropped his head into the locks of his shoulders and gave up the ghost. This verse says that John and Peter were on their way to the temple to pray at the ninth hour. It was at the house of prayer that Peter and John found a man in a miserable situation, in need of heaven's mercy. If you've ever been in need of mercy, not justice now, justice is when you get what you deserve. Now, I don't think many of us want God to give us what we deserve, because I read somewhere that what we deserve is death, because the wages of sin is death. What we need is mercy. Mercy is God holding back his wrath from giving us what we deserve. See, that's mercy. God giving us more than what we deserve is what we like to call grace. That's why the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. So if you've ever found yourself in the middle of a miserable mess and you were in need of God's saving grace, you can identify with this man at the gate. There's somebody here today who needs to understand how to find mercy even while you are in the middle of a very bad situation. There are three things in this text that jump out at me. Three things in this text that just beg for attention. The first thing that I want to notice is the sickness that frustrates. It's a horrible thing to be sick and can't get well. So the first thing that I see as I look at this lame man at the gate is the sickness that frustrates. The second thing is the wall that separates. Third thing I see is the truth that liberates. I think all of us here today, if you find yourself needing mercy in the middle of a very bad situation, we need to recognize the sickness that frustrates. It's right here in the text, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the ninth hour, being the hour of prayer. If you remember in the gospel, Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs to do the work of personal evangelism. So whenever the Lord sent people out, two by two, he sent them out on a mission. And the mission was to go out and try to evangelize. So the fact that they are together gives us a clue that they are not just men going to the temple to pray. These are two men on a mission. And as they made their way up to the temple, they just happened to encounter a man who just happened to be sitting at the gate. The Lord had put somebody in their path who needed to hear the message that they had to teach. Come on now. Be careful about the people who cross your path. I know some people who are not on a walk with the Lord, they'll say, oh, that was just a coincidence that that happened. That somebody with a hurt, a habit, or a hang up crossed your space. God has put us there to be a blessing to somebody. We have been blessed to be a blessing. How long will God continue to send blessings to you that he cannot send through you? They went up to the temple to pray. Right there at the temple, they discover a man who is crippled. Now, the word is careful to point out that this man was lame from his mother's womb. Apparently, as a boy, he had never enjoyed the games of chase and tag. He had never had the thrill of running, jumping with the other boys. All he could do, just sit there and watch. Watch the parade of life as life passed him by. Because he had a serious defect. I think, you know, we all need to go back and read that again. The next time we have some aches, pains, and we start complaining about how bad we've got it. Here was a man who had to depend on someone to get him around everywhere he went. Without the Lord, we all have a serious defect. We are sick from head to toe without the Lord. We have a serious defect without the Lord, and it is called sin. Sin has messed us up. You know, we may not be lame in both feet, but there is a serious defect as a result of sin. Isaiah said, man's head is sick. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, man's throat is an open sepulcher. Romans 3:13. Job said that man's bones are full of sin. Job 20:11. Solomon says man's ways are crooked. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 15. The scripture is clear to point out that man left to God is sick from his head to his toe as a result of sin. That's why we need to hear the lesson today. Because there is a sickness that is frustrating us. We talk about being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Most of the time, we're talking about a physical matter. There's something more serious than that. It is a spiritual malady. It can cause one to lose his very soul. Notice, this man with that serious defect, he's brought to the temple. I think that's rather significant to note because, you know, when folk are down and out, sometimes when folk have habits, hurts, and hang-ups, you know, they're not dropped off at the hot spots of the world. Did you notice where they brought this man? They brought him to where the people of God gather. Did you ever notice people who love to party, love to run the streets, love to have a good time? But when they have some hurts, some habits, or some hang-ups, they don't take them to the nightclubs. They don't take them to the nightclub trying to get a handout. You don't see them lined up at the casino. They are brought to the temple. They are brought to where the people of God regularly gather. Now notice this. Let's go back and read it again because you may have missed this. It says, a certain man. I'm in verse number 2, still in Acts 3. Lame from his mother's womb. He was what? Carried. When they laid daily at the temple. He never got in. Hello? I said he was at the temple asking alms of those who did what? Entered into the temple. All I'm trying to do is to show you we can be close and still far. Here was a man who was at the temple, but not in the temple. I need to talk about that because there are some folk, you know, they get comfortable when they get down and out. They get comfortable at the church, but they never get in the church. Come on. Here was a man who was at the temple, but he was never in the temple. And that's interesting. That is an observation. Now, what is really significant is why he wasn't in the temple. Because you see, the temple had three distinctive areas. besides the temple itself. First, there was the court of the Gentiles. This was the large court inside the outer wall. It was as close as a non-Jew could get to the temple. If you were not a Jew, you were not permitted to go into the temple. So there was a court for the non-Jew, and it was called the court of the Gentiles. You see, if you or I had gone stepping up there to the temple before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would never have been allowed into the temple because we're not Jews, right? That is the real of it. That was the court of the Gentiles. Next was the court of the women. Now, the women who were Jews, Jewish women, could only come as far as the court of the women, no further. Surrounding the temple itself, where the sacrifices were being made, was the court itself. It was the court of Israel. And the court of Israel was the place where the men who were Jews sat. Because the men who were Jews had special privileges that the women and the Gentiles didn't have. Josephus. He reminds us that Jewish males could get close enough to the temple to see the sacrifices that the priests were making, but the women and the Gentiles couldn't get that close. Josephus, who was the Jewish historian for the Roman government, tells us that the beautiful gate was the passageway between the court of the Gentiles and the court of the women. I think we sing a song sometime about the beautiful gate. It was a passageway. So obviously, this is what has happened. Peter and John are going through the beautiful gate on their way to the court of Israel. Now, there was a wall that separated the court of Israel from the court of the Gentiles. That wall was called the Middle Wall of Partition. It was a literal wall. It was also a symbolic wall. It was a dividing line of hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. So everybody did not have access to the temple. Anybody who went beyond that wall entered at the risk of his own life, if you were not a male Jew. What is so significant about all of this is that Jesus came. I said Jesus came to break down the wall. You know, it was serious business for Jewish folk, for somebody who wasn't a Jew, to go into the temple. You recall over there in the book of Acts, chapter 21 and verse 29, Paul had a friend by the name of Trophimus. Trophimus was an Ephesian. He was also Greek. The people thought that Paul had taken Trophimus into the temple, and they wanted to kill Paul. They came looking for Paul. That's how serious it was. The Bible tells us the Lord had broken down that middle wall of partition. You remember over there in Ephesians chapter 2, he's saying there was once a time when there was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile, but the Lord went to Calvary. He went to Calvary on purpose to break down that wall so that a Gentile like you or I, we could not just be at the temple, but we could have access to enter into the temple. Thank God for Calvary. Because the Lord went to Calvary, he died to break down that middle wall of partition. He erected a new temple for all. He put up a whosoever will let him come sign. Thank God for Calvary. He established a body. He established a spiritual kingdom that now includes Jew and Gentile alike. Over there in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 1, it says, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. He was saying, some of you standing right here right now, you won't die until you have seen this new spiritual kingdom come. Well, now, if we can find out what the kingdom is, if we can find out what the power is, we ought to be able to find out when the power came. He said the kingdom was going to come with power in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 8. It says, but ye shall receive what? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We are all familiar with those verses. It says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both where? In Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Am I right, Charlie? I know, that's Charlie's verse. He said that this kingdom and this power were going to come together. This spiritual kingdom is now going to be fully accessed by both Jew and Gentile, by male and female, by bond and free. He said it's going to come with power. Well, when did the power come? Acts chapter 2 verse 1 tells us, he says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with what? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling where? They were dwelling in Rome. No. They were dwelling in America. No. They were dwelling in England. No. What does it say, Charlie? They were all going to be starting in Jerusalem. Amen. So here we are, around AD 33. Peter stands up and he preaches the first gospel sermon. And they ask that first question that everybody who is spiritually sick and in need of God's divine mercy and saving grace, that question that they all must ask is, what must I do in order to be saved? So here we are in Acts chapter 2. Peter has preached the first gospel sermon. Verses 37, 38, 39 through 41 is an important passage of scripture to look at. Now, when they heard this, when they heard how Christ had died, how he had been buried, how he rose from the dead on the third day, when they heard the facts of the gospel, when they heard that the gospel is that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. Now, it's not just that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day. The facts of the gospel are that he did it according to the scripture. So whenever you talk about the gospel, you got to remember, you need to put that according to the scripture in there. But I want to tell you the significance of according to the scripture. That means 600 years before Jesus was ever born, the prophets told us he was going to be born. 600 years before Jesus ever got here, the prophets told us where he was going to be born, told us who his mama was going to be, told us how long he was going to live, told us when he was going to die, told us how long he was going to stay dead, told us when he was going to get up from the dead. That's why you put according to the scripture in there. Because any of these modern day messiahs, any of these modern day wannabe Jesuses, if the Bible didn't tell us that you were coming, if nobody told us before you got here that you were going to be here, told us what your name was going to be, told us what kind of mama you were going to have, told us whether you were going to die and be buried and raised again or not, none of that happened, then you don't have any right to call yourself a savior. That's what makes Christianity unique. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Got to keep that in mind. That's Acts 2:37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now that word untoward means the generations that's not going anywhere. Generations that's not hooked up to anything. You know, I may be talking to somebody today who finds themselves in a sickness that is frustrating. They are at the temple, but not yet in the temple. Somebody needs to hear the word of the preacher. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. The Bible says, those that gladly receive the word were baptized. This morning, thank you. This morning, you've heard the word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. That's how you get into the church, so you won't just be at the church. You can get in the church. You may be here, already a member of the body, but you've strayed away, been unfaithful, done things you know you should not have done. Why don't you straighten that out today? Come back to the fold before it's too late. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make a choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus call out, tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity call out, come and our will.
Dearly Father, we thank you for this day. We always thank thee for the opportunity to come to praise, honor, and glorify thy name. But dearly Father, as we have heard the word, allow us not to be just the church, but be in the church, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, and live our lives according to thy word. Dearly Father, we ask that you may continue to bless the sick and the ones that are in need and bereaved. Watch over them and care for them. Dear and Father, be with each and every one of us as we go to our separate homes. Allow us to get there safely and return at the next appointed time. Forgive our sins, accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.